talking like Chris Richard is in charge of the entire defense. And like Rob Marinelli is a position coach. That's outstanding to me.
Perennial practice squad guy, Jameel Showers.
Oh, man. How is he still eligible for the practice squad? He's like 42. He's 42 years old. They had 1,046 total defensive snaps and only played three or more linebackers on 289 of them. That's, again, 27-28%.
That they don't, but do you know? I mean, does KD Drummond know what he's getting from Duke Thomas in 28?
No. I have no idea.
You don't. You don't know what you're getting from Donovan Alumba. You don't know what you're getting from Charvarius Ward.
Are just going to swoop in and grab these guys. Lewis Neal last year was the main one. We loved what Lewis Neal did.
That's your guy.
He put a lot of stuff on film, and nobody in the NFL cared. Nobody came for Lewis Neal last year.
All right. You are now rocking with the best. Thank you so much for tuning in with another exciting, exhilarating episode of Catch This Fade podcast. I am, of course, your host, KD Drummond. Find me on Twitter at KD Drummond NFL. And I'm rocking with my man, Five Grand, Mr. Patrick Walker. Say what's up to the people, Pat.
Ladies and gentlemen, as always, thank you for tuning in. And I'm pulling my hair back right now because I'm getting ready to give KD this fade on these mailbag topics.
Yeah, you're pulling it back to a pit bull tail. You got to get your hang time up there, dog. First of all, let me send an official birthday shout out to my homeboy here. And he celebrated today by finally stepping up his burger game. He went to Five Guys to get a real burger. So I'm very proud of him in his advanced age. What I want to do on today's show is I want to take a bite out of this upcoming training camp for the Dallas Cowboys. We're a week away from the...
Thank you. I do what I do.
We're a week away from the opening of the 2018 training camp. The team is getting ready to pack up the big 18-wheelers and trek across country, get to Oxnard, California. And we decided for this week's show, we wanted to open up the topic list to our listeners, to our readers, our followers on Twitter. Again, I'm at KD Drummond NFL. He's at Voice of the Star. Make sure you're following us on Twitter and be on the lookout for future mailbags where we open it up to the audience. Well, let's see if we have alternate point of views on this first question. It's from my man Christopher W. out of Alaska at Sing for the Day on Twitter. Make sure you go follow him. And he wants to know, how frequently are Sean Lee, Jalen Smith, and Leighton Vander Esch all going to be on the field together?
I personally think that it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to be used differently. You look at how defensive coordinator Rob Marinelli likes to use his linebackers, and he likes to move them around a lot when at all possible. Now, Sean Lee is going to be the exception to that rule, but prior to Sean Lee moving over to the will, which was more so for the preservation of his durability than anything else, because he was really losing games when they tried to keep him at the mic position. But aside from Sean Lee sticking around at will, I think you're going to see a lot of movement between Leighton Vander Esch and Jalen Smith. I think all three will be on the field a lot in those three linebacker sets. And in that, you're going to see Sean Lee at will. You're going to see, in my opinion, Vander Esch maybe not at the beginning of this season as the mic, but my gut tells me so. But they might give Jalen Smith the nod, at the mic to start the season and kind of go from there. And that will put LVE in the Sam at the strong side. But by the time the season is out, I think in your three linebacker set, it's going to be LVE at mic. You're going to see Jalen Smith at Sam. And then you're going to see Sean Lee at will. Now, of course, these are speaking upon the positions that they're going to take the majority of their snaps in. But that being said, there will be situations where you see everybody except Sean Lee move around. And then you look at people like Justin March Lillard. They got a lot of faith in Justin March Lillard. He was one of the key reasons that Justin Durant had issues getting on the field last season. Now that, obviously Justin Durant's no longer on the team, they have a lot of belief in Damian Wilson as a rotational backup piece. Stephen Jones mentioned him specifically this offseason prior to the draft as far as what he brings to the table. They went and got Joe Thomas, signed him away from the Green Bay Packers, who tried to put a tender on him. And then you got some of the lesser known names like your Joel Flanagan, your Trayvon Johnson. I don't know that Flanagan and Johnson are going to make the roster, but when it comes to who you should focus on, Christopher from Alaska and everyone else that's listening out there, your starters and your three linebacker set is going to be Lee at Will, in my opinion, LVE at Mike eventually, and then Jalen Smith at Sam, and then you will see Damian Wilson move between the three spots. Joe Thomas will move between the three spots, and they'll kind of go from there.
You know, over the last half decade, the nickel defense has become the base defense in today's NFL. So it used to be where your nickel guys were on the field, you know, 35-40% of the time, and now it's kind of flipped to where you're doing 60% nickel, maybe 40% in a base 4-3 or 3-4, depending on what your lineman is. Obviously, the Cowboys are a 4-3 front. The Cowboys had 1,005 official defensive plays. They only played with three or more linebackers on 272 of those snaps. That's 27-28%. So that's a big difference from what the perception is about getting all three guys on the field. And then you add in the factor of Chris Richard coming and taking over. And we all said when he was brought over, you were one of the first people, if not the first, to identify Chris Richard as a possibility to join the Cowboys. And now they're getting deeper into it and went through the OTAs and minicamp, and you're starting to hear some of the players talk about it. They're talking like Chris Richard is in charge of the entire defense. And like Rod Marinelli is a position coach. That's outstanding to me, because you all know how I feel about Rod Marinelli running this defense. But when I went and checked Seattle's numbers, they were virtually identical to what the Cowboys did. They had 1,046 total defensive snaps and only played three or more linebackers on 289 of them. That's, again, 27-28%. So I think from that point of view, it sounds good that the Cowboys are going to have Lee, Smith, and Vander Esch all on the field together, but it's really only going to be about one in every four plays in a game that we see that happen. So what does that mean? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that's interesting, exceedingly interesting, actually. And what it makes me harken back to is I've had some conversations with several Cowboys defensive players, both on the defensive line as well as in the defensive backfield, your linebackers and some of your secondary guys like Byron Jones. And speaking on Chris Richard, they're saying things like he's completely turning the playbook upside down. Now, right. I don't know if that means he's completely installing a new front and how that's going to work out. So to your point, things are going to get really interesting versus what the perception is, you know, that there'll be three players, three linebackers on the field at the same time. So I guess my question to you would be, if they do in fact keep with their particular trend of playing primarily with two linebackers, who would you go with from the outset? Are you going with Lee and Smith? Are you because you're going to get some blowback if you don't have a healthy snap count to your first round pick.
For my money, they're truly banking on Sean Lee getting injured again. And this was one of the biggest reasons why I was anti-drafting a linebacker in the first round. You're either swearing off Jalen Smith, or you're not going to get a full complement of what you want out of your first round linebacker. Now, when we went through OTAs and minicamps, and granted, there's not much to say there. He was a rookie, learning curve, and all that kind of stuff. We rarely heard about Leighton Vander Esch making any of those plays. Like, when you got the summaries at the end of the open practices, and we had our good friend David Hellman reporting on what was happening and some of the other guys that were out there, you heard about other players making impressions, but you didn't hear about Vander Esch. And then he got injured with the ankle at the end of, I think he missed the third OTA session and the minicamp because of that ankle injury.
Right.
And that's when you heard a guy like Justin Marshall Lillard starting to come up and making some big plays in his absence. But for me, it's a concern that, A, you don't have enough snaps to go around for these guys because you're going to take one off of the field three out of every four defensive plays. So what are you doing? All three of them have the capability of being in the nickel. Leighton Vander Esch is a three-down linebacker eventually. Jalen Smith is a three-down linebacker eventually, but we still have to know whether or not he can move laterally. Because you saw what happened from the Rams game when they exposed him, checking Todd Gurley out of the backfield. Him in pass coverage was not ready to be on NFL display last year. So he lost a brace, but is that going to be the case this year? Is a brace the only thing that was holding him back from being able to be the type of player that the Cowboys hoped for him to be? So I think those two things, the experience of Vander Esch versus the mobility of Jalen Smith, is going to be the determining factor of who's on the field next to Sean Lee whenever Sean Lee is healthy. And we don't know how often or how frequent that is going to be. So on one hand, I like the fact that the Cowboys went out and got somebody that could, in quick order, be a compliment to Smith if Lee is out, or be a compliment to Lee if Smith isn't healthy. I understand the need for that. But if everybody's healthy, somebody's going to be pissed off because they're not getting the requisite snaps that they need.
And that's true. And to that point, playing devil's advocate just a bit, and I'll say this first. I do agree with you. And you know, pre-draft, I was against taking Leighton Vander Esch in the first round. Not against taking him whatsoever, but against taking him in the first round. I graded that as a middle ground draft value in the end, but it was kind of offset by the tremendous value they got in Connor Williams with the 50th overall pick. So it's a wash there. But that's just me agreeing with your point as far as I probably wouldn't have taken LVE in the first round for everything that you mentioned. That being said, they also needed to fill the void of a departing Anthony Hitchens. Hitchens, obviously, he's a guy that can play all three positions at that second level. And you could not go throughout the entire seven rounds of the draft, and we won't even go seven rounds. Let's say you couldn't go through the first three rounds and not address the fact that you lost a talent like Anthony Hitchens. So I get why they did it, and that's fine. So I think in that same breath, we might be overthinking it just a bit, because with Anthony Hitchens in tow when Sean Lee was healthy, and at that point you had Jalen Smith still kind of coming along because technically last season was his rookie year.
Right.
So that gave them a little bit of a reprieve to say, well, this is why Jalen Smith is getting reduced snaps after both Hitchens and Lee got healthy and were on the field, and they were able to scale Jalen Smith back. And I think the same thing you're going to see with Vander Esch this season, in that if Lee can remain healthy and Jalen Smith is also healthy and those two are eating up most of the snaps in the nickel, they're going to say, well, you know, Vander Esch, this is his rookie year. We're kind of easing him along, and then we'll all be okay with that. And then when the three linebacker sets come out, then you see all three of them there. So I think in the end, or I'm confident in the end, they're going to figure it out, even if Rashard was not in tow. But now that he is in tow, we know what his pedigree is. I am exceptionally confident that it will play out exactly how it needs to. And then in the end, if Lee does end up missing some games, that's another reason you had to address the linebacker position in the first three rounds. And not just because you lost Anthony Hitchens, but you saw what happens to the Cowboys defense when they lose Sean Lee. Now, we're not saying Vander Esch is Sean Lee by any stretch of the imagination, but he gives you a hell of a better chance to win than some of the rotational pieces that existed prior to this season when Sean Lee went down. So I think it'll all work out in the Cowboys' favor. Rashard knows what he's doing. He has a great chemistry with the team already. He has a great chemistry with Rob Marinelli, and I think those two are going to really improve upon an already exciting defense that we saw in the back end of 2017. Now, how that shakes out, we both know that Lee's going to stay at the wheel. And Jalen Smith, this being technically his second year producing for the team, I think he's going to get the nod at starting Mike in those nickel sets. And then you'll see LVE kind of rotate in. And we'll be okay with that because he is a rookie, and we'll give that bit of reprieve. And then kind of going forward towards the end of the season, we're going to want to see a little bit more of Vander Esch, but I think it'll happen organically.
Now, here's one little hot take that I'm not predicting, but I'm just saying I won't be surprised if it ends up happening. If Leighton Vander Esch isn't ready to assume the starting role to begin with, I wouldn't be altogether shocked to see the Cowboys have Sean Lee at will, keep Jalen Smith at Sam, and Joe Thomas start.
We're
only talking about one out of every four plays, and when they go to the nickel, it'll be Lee and Smith. So it could possibly be that while they try to work Leighton Vander Esch into the scheme over the first few weeks of the season, and then by mid-October or whatever, then he takes his rightful place as a starter, and he never looks back. You got to look back to how it was when Sean Lee first came in the league. I don't think Sean Lee started. Down the power of the internet. 14 games played, no game started. And this is the best linebacker that the Cowboys have had in the last 20, 25 years. He didn't start a single game as a rookie. So it's not out of the question for them to have another game plan other than those three guys being the starters and getting 300 or so snaps a season. So that's if you're...
I'm totally fine with it. I'm totally fine with that. I mean,
we're fine with it, but a lot of Cowboys Nation isn't going to be fine with it.
Right.
You know, that's
because
that's
first round pick, and we want to see him out there, and how dare you. But, I mean, to that point, if we're talking about winning games and making the smart play, if that turns out to be the smart play after the Cowboys see Vander Esch in training camp and see him in preseason, and if from the outset, and we're talking about, you know, the first couple weeks in September, maybe the entire month of September, if it looks like Joe Thomas, a linebacker who already has 42 NFL games under his belt, he showed some great flashes for the Green Bay Packers in 2016. He had 7 starts. This is a guy that looks better than your first round pick. Then that's fine. I mean, that's fine because we all we'll play him because you're trying to win these games, especially at the front of the season, because it's so loaded with, obviously, with your division and conference foes. So you got to get those wins there. They don't have anything to prove when it comes to, oh, well, we're going to play Vander Esch because he's the first-round pick. No, I don't think that's what's going to happen with Rashard and Marinelli at all. I think they're going to go into training camp preseason, see if the kid's ready to come in and get a lot of snaps in September. And if he's not, they're going to ease him in. And, like, you made a good chronological point as far as putting a pin in October. I think that's a great point of emphasis to kind of sit back and say, okay, where's the kid at now, and then start ramping up that snap count. And then by then you'll definitely get a good feel on if in fact Jalen Smith is about to take this his game to the next level, like we hope that he is, and as it seems that he will going into 2018. Us as fans, we're going to get a heavy dose of Vander Esch. If he's healthy, we're going to get a heavy dose of him in August anyway.
Yes.
So we'll be able to see exactly what his progress looks like and kind of go from there. But I think the Cowboys are going to get this right.
All right, let's move on to our next question.
Okay, so the next question we got is, what is the best depth position on the Cowboys roster right now, and what is the worst? And this comes from Terry from Farmington, New York. I don't have Terry's Twitter handle in front of me. Do you, by any chance?
It is at TLynch2. So thank you, Terry, for your question. We appreciate your following. And let's go ahead and dive into this. For my money, this is a tough one.
It is.
The deepest position that the Cowboys have on the team is offensive tackle. And here's why I say that. The Cowboys have 5 players on their roster who could start in the NFL at offensive tackle. They have, obviously, Teron Smith, who is, by all estimations, in Cowboys land, the best left tackle in the game when he's healthy. In injury-plagued seasons, he does drop down a little bit, but pound for pound, he's the best offensive tackle in the game. You have Lyle Collins, who's starting, and he had a tremendously rough start to the season last year when he was facing the upper echelon. But down the stretch, he gave a lot of hope for promise. And I could see him starting on probably 13 to 17 other NFL teams and them feeling confident in trotting him out. I think there's a large I'd say about half of the starting right tackles in the league are better than him, but he could start over the other half. Then you have Cam Fleming, who they just signed in the offseason from New England, who I think is talent-wise starter quality, but whether he can maintain that throughout an entire game, throughout an entire season, more so I should say, that's kind of questionable. And it's not really about conditioning, I should say, as being the problem with him. I think it's more so people having more chances to figure out how to expose him would not do well for him. But in spot duty, I think he can still be very capable of starting. But then you get to your guards, and there's no doubt in my mind that Zach Martin could start at tackle for the majority of the teams in the NFL. He's the best guard in the game, and I think he'd be a top 20, 25 tackle in the game, taking off points because of his short arms and having to operate in space, and he's just magnificent in a phone booth. But by the same way that I'm measuring him, I think that Connor Williams could also start in the league at tackle. Now, it might not be beautiful, but I think he'd be capable of being a starting tackle somewhere in the league if he was drafted to play that position. We know his short arms are basically the same reason that he got kicked inside, but he was a starting left tackle at Texas, and he only gave up 4 sacks over 3 seasons. So we know that he's capable of doing professional level play at the tackle position, just that he can be elite inside at guard, which is why the Cowboys, and they obviously have the big need at left guard, why they project him and had moved him inside. But I think the Cowboys have five different players at offensive tackle, or five different players on the roster who could start in the league at offensive tackle. So for me, that's the deepest position that they have.
Okay, well, and we'll tackle the best, and then we'll double back to the worst.
Yep.
I see what you're saying as far as the offensive tackle position, and I agree with an asterisk. Yes, Zach Martin could pop out and be a quality starting tackle anywhere in the league. However, anytime the suggestion, and you know, because obviously you follow me on Twitter, you know, at Voice of the Star, shameless plug. Anytime there's a suggestion for, you know, Martin to slide out because of an injury, I start itching. I get hives. Like, I just, that's not what I want in my life. Like, that's not me living my best life, right? I don't think that's the Cowboys living their best life. So overall, I agree. Overall, I agree that they do have a lot of talented bodies there. And then, of course, you have arguably the best left tackle in the game. And then at the tackle position also, you got Lyle Collins. That's a first-round talent. And I think that he's going to take a major step forward in 2018 if they keep him there, because we are under the assumption that they will. They haven't committed to it, so hopefully they don't make the mistake of trying to move him back inside. But that being said, you got somebody like Connor Williams, the rookie. He came in. Hopefully they're going to put him at the left guard and shore that up. But in a pinch, he can slide out to the tackle position as well. So, you know, I'd be more comfortable with someone like Williams going out there because he played tackle at the University of Texas than putting someone like Zach Martin in that position, because he's already proven that he can be a god where he is. So leave the god.
Here's my question for that. If the Cowboys had Ron Leary, Connor Williams, and Trey Turner also on the roster at guard, would you have any problem kicking Zach Martin out to tackle? Like, if you weren't falling off a cliff at right guard by moving Zach Martin, because you know the whole adage of, you know, you don't ruin two positions to try to fix one.
The Chaz Green rule now.
Right, exactly.
Chaz Green rule.
If that wasn't even in play, if you had a close proximity to the play that you were getting out of Zach Martin at right guard to come in for him, if you moved him out to tackle, would you have the same hesitation to do it?
No, I'd have hesitation, but it wouldn't be nearly as sizable as it is otherwise. So
right. So if he was on another team, if he was on another team that had two bona fide starting caliber guards, you wouldn't have a problem with him being your tackle.
It wouldn't be ideal, but I wouldn't have a big problem with it. Let's put it that way.
I saw him at Notre Dame. I think he's very capable of being that tackle.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying he can't. Let's just be clear. I'm not saying Zach Martin cannot play tackle. That is not what I'm saying. I'm simply saying that's not the Cowboys living their best life. I think you can agree with that.
Yeah, we can agree on a lot of things about the Cowboys not living their best life. But anyway, who's yours?
My position, I'm going defensive end. Okay.
Okay.
I think if you look at the defensive end room, and my stance was the best depth on the roster existed at that position off the edge before Randy Gregory got reinstated, before you dropped Randy Gregory in. So now that Gregory is back, good Lord, have mercy. You're talking about that makes, to my count, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that's 11 edge rushers, 11 definitive edge rushers, and that's not counting those that can flex between three tech in the edge, someone like Lewis Neal, someone like
Datone Jones.
I mean, even in a pinch, you could send Irvin out on the edge after.
I mean, that's where he was. Back. He was a strong side defensive end to start. So yeah.
Right. After he gets back from his 4-game suspension. But that's a story for another podcast. But you look at someone, let's go down this list of so we can look at this talent. You're talking about DeMarcus Lawrence, 14.5 sacks in 2017. Absolute beast. He's found his stride. And if the Cowboys can find a compliment to him, I don't see him as long as he remains healthy, I don't see him taking a step back. I just absolutely don't. So let's assume that he's going to get double-digit sacks again this year. And then you look at someone like, Taco, you know, he was vilified a lot, obviously, including by you. But he started to come along very nicely.
Wait a minute. Be careful how you group me, because my whole issue was that I didn't think he was the best pick. It was nothing against him. I just thought that T.J. Watt was a better pick. That's all.
Fair enough. You're not like our friend Bobby Belt.
Bobby hates him. Bobby freaking hates him.
Bobby. you got DeMarcus Lawrence. And I think although we can agree that Tyrone Crawford's contract is bloated, I believe he brings great value to the team, not just from a veteran aspect, but also on the field. I think he's going to be a great rotational player once Gregory gets his wheels back. You look at, they went and got Coney Ealy on a team-friendly deal this offseason. They've been lusting for Coney Ealy since before he got drafted. They finally have him in the fold. You got, like we mentioned, Dayton Jones. You got Durance Armstrong. They got Durance Armstrong in the fourth round of the 2018 NFL draft. They were willing to trade up for him, and he just happened to still be available when they went on the clock in the fourth round. Some great things I'm hearing about Durance. Obviously, some people are like, well, he's kind of small or whatever. And to that point, you mentioned T.J. Watt. How's he doing with the whole undersized narrative? So the Cowboys love what Durance Armstrong brings. And then if they, I'm telling you, man, if they can get a healthy Charles Tapper.
Not going to happen.
I venture to agree, but I'm simply saying if they can. And then, of course, I talked about Randy Gregory. You put him in, and I think Gregory, I don't think he's going to start to begin the season. I think that he could be he could have a healthy enough snap count where you could kind of label him a quasi-starter towards the second half. I think they'd probably go with Crawford, get Taco his snaps, and then kind of bring Gregory in so he can get his game speed and game lungs back. But just looking at those names that I listed, and again, I didn't even mention the Lewis Neals of the world that can go in and out. We kind of talked about David Irvin can go in and out. This defensive end core, to my recollection, and I'm thinking back quite a few years here, I don't know that I've seen this much talent, whether it be polished and or raw, on this Cowboys roster in recent history. I think that this is one of those positions that, man, this is going to be an exciting battle in training camp and preseason. And once the season opens up, because there's all so much talent that exists on it right now, that has to be one of the positions that you feel excellent about going into 2018. So for me, although I understand your stance on why you feel offensive tackle is the deepest, for my money, I have to go with the defensive end position. That's the one that I'm so anti-worried about. It's ridiculous.
See, for me, when it comes to defensive ends, it's two things. One, it requires a ton of projection to call all of those guys bona fide contributors. We know what DeMarcus Lawrence is, yes. We know what we hope Taco Charlton is. He got the three sacks, and based on his snaps and his pressures at the end of the season, we see the progress. We know what he did at Michigan, you know, stepping up the ladder each year. He had more and more production, projecting that to do the same. We know what Tyrone Crawford is, and other people like him more than me. I'll just leave it at that. But the rest of the guys, we're projecting. We know that Randy Gregory has all of the talent in the world, but we're projecting that he puts it all together and he's able to make a contribution. We have to project that Durance Armstrong isn't going to be behind the rookie curve. We have to project that Charles Tapper is actually going to be able to make it through three practices without falling over. We have to project that Coney Ealy is the player that we saw in the Super Bowl against some dirtball tackles that the Denver Broncos had when he had three takedowns of Peyton Manning, and not the guy that got released from New England before he even saw the field and only had one sack all year with the New York Jets, even though he was playing out of position in a 3-4 defense.
There you go. There you go.
A lot. What I'm saying is we're projecting him back to what he was 3 years ago with Carolina, not what he's been the last 3 years in the league. So every position except for Tank Lawrence involves a lot of projection. Now, I did have projection with my offensive line, you know, no doubt about that, projecting these guys I'll admit that easily, projecting Zach Martin and Connor Williams to the outside in the pros, which we haven't seen them do, so on and so forth. Cool. So I get all of that. But for me, it just didn't feel like the defensive end position, especially knowing that they really only have two possible right defensive ends in Gregory and Armstrong. Everybody else is really a strong side guy. But it just didn't feel to me, it didn't inspire confidence in me to say that's the deepest position. They have the most bodies with potential. I will definitely give you that. But I just lean more towards the offensive tackle position than I do defensive end. But it's not a bad choice. It's just, you know, along the lines of what you normally do.
Oh, no.
You like that one? I stuck that one in there, yeah.
Yeah, you stuck that in real smooth. But, I mean, you make a valid point. It does involve a ton of projection. But I feel like, you know, when you look at someone like Gregory, people ask, well, you know, he's coming off this hiatus over 600 days between regular season games by the time he suits up on September 10th. Yes, I get that. I did an article this week that breaking down his film that basically showed that he had over 300 days off. And he was dropped in late in the regular season in 2016. And he was able to make an immediate impact. Now, you're going to look at his stat line, his box score, and you're going to say, oh, well, you know, he didn't have 100,000 sacks. Well, granted, number one, he only played two games. But also, as you well know, sacks are not the only determining factor on if an edge rusher is effective. You look at Randy Gregory. He does great with pre-snap reads and tackle for losses on running backs and things of that nature, running guys down from behind. And he's – I think that it – if you compare how he was dropped in 2016 after having a 300-plus day hiatus from his previous suspension, yes, now it's over 600 days by the time he suits up for the opener, but he's not being dropped in late December. He's being dropped in before training camp. So you're going to get the next few weeks of training camp practices and preseason games. So by the time the first game kicks off in the regular season – I think his hiatus or the length thereof will be completely negligible. I am one who believes Randy Gregory, when September rolls around, be it early September, late September, we'll see how that plays out. I don't think it's going to be a long period of time before his rubber meets the road. And then when you look at that opposite DeMarcus Lawrence, we're not even going to address the three tech. And then, of course, we have questions with the one tech. We'll see how Jahal Ward shows up. I'm hearing some good things, but we'll see how that goes. You know, Brian Price, Cowboys got a lot of confidence in him. They re-upped his contract. So we'll see how the interior goes. But even without looking at the interior, putting David Irvin out of the equation for now, you want that complimentary piece for DeMarcus Lawrence. And I believe Randy Gregory is that. And then you look at the waves of talent, let's just say of raw talent that you can rotate in and you can throw at the quarterback. I'm going to stick with, and I know it's based on a lot of projection, but I am exceedingly comfortable with this pass rush unit right now.
Well, the one thing I'll say before we move on to the position group that we think has the least amount of depth is that I think Randy Gregory is going to be great for the Cowboys, but I just want to caution that what we saw when we look at those plays of what he did in those last two games of the year when he showed up at 2016. He was 300 days fresh against guys that had played the whole season, and some of them were playing out the string, tired, worn down, injured, and he was fresh as hell. So I just think that everybody should take a caveat when they're looking at those plays of Randy Gregory. And they were phenomenal, like when he got knocked to the ground, got up and still got the sack on Carson Wentz. Those plays are beautiful, but they do have that asterisk next to them that says that he was ridiculously fresh against guys that had played the entire season and weren't running at the same speed. But
well, if you thought he was fresh then.
Yeah, wait till you see him now.
If you thought he was fresh after 300 days off.
Well, wait till you open up a can of. All right, so let's go to the worst depth on the team. And I don't see how you can go any other direction than tight end. I mean, we talked about projection when it came to the defensive ends and the offensive tackles. There's nothing but projection when it comes to the tight end position. They have 9 combined catches between them. They all belong to Jeff Swaim. Dalton Schultz is a 4th-round rookie. Blake Jarwin played in 1 game, didn't catch a pass. Rico Gathers has been on the practice squad or injury reserve for his 2 years in the league after not playing organized football since middle school.
And that's fair. And for me, I actually agree with you in the aspect of I think the tight end position is, in fact, the weakest by far. Now, I will honorable mention to the safety unit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know if we mentioned there, because behind Heath and Woods and Frazier, you got a whole lot of unprovens. I have a lot of excitement surrounding a player like Cameron Kelly, someone like Tyree Robinson, but obviously both of them undrafted free agents for 2018. They got a lot to prove. Cameron Kelly has the leg up there because he has Rashard's eyes and ears right now. He can flex between the cornerback and the safety position. Lord knows the Cowboys love their flex. So I think that's going to give an eye to Cam Kelly. But if you look at Kelly, Robinson, Marquestin Huff, Kyle Kieto, perennial practice squad god Jameel Showers.
Oh man, how is he still eligible for the practice squad? He's like 42. He's 42 years old.
I don't know, man, but he's hanging in there. Shout out to Jameel Showers.
Yes,
that guy. He's done everything the Cowboys have asked of him and more, and he still has a job, so I got to respect that. But if you look at those names, I mean, the only guys you have any type of confidence in whatsoever is Heath, Woods, and Frazier. Other than that, you have your hopefuls and Kelly and maybe Robinson. But, you know, put a pin in those and then everybody else, you're just like, well, what do we got at safety? So honorable mention to the safety position, because it was definitely close to becoming my worst depth on the Cowboys roster. But I got to agree with you on the tight end spot, because you're looking at Jeff Swaim, Blake Jarwin, Dalton Schultz, Rico Gathers, rookie, David Wells, who was signed out of undrafted free agency this spring. I mean, that's a total, like you mentioned, that's 9 catches. That's 84 total receiving yards. These are numbers that are far from impressive, and they all belong to one guy. Yep. They all belong to Swaim. And that's 5 bodies with a combined touchdown tally at the NFL level of 0. 0. The vortex left behind by the retirement of Jason Witten cannot be overstated. This is a big deal, ladies and gentlemen. The Cowboys have talent at the position. Swaim has skins on the wall. We've seen that he can, you know, he can catch, and he can definitely block. Jarwin is a team favorite. He's obviously your favorite as well. I'm really big on Jarwin as well. I was bigger on Jarwin before they drafted Schultz, because now that has me raising an eyebrow at how Schultz versus Jarwin is going to pan out. I think Swaim's going to go in as the starter for the foreseeable future. Now, that foreseeable future could be up until October. It could be as far back as December. We don't know yet, but I think going into the season, he's your definitive tight end one. And then you're going to see Schultz and Jarwin kind of fighting out for tight end two. Wells and Gathers, they're going to be fighting it out. And you would think Gathers has more of an edge there, but he doesn't. I'm here to tell you that he does not. He's a great receiving threat, but his blocking is not ideal. Cowboys know it. He admits it. I spoke with him at the National Fantasy Football Conference, and he said he doesn't believe that he was a quote-unquote horrific blocker, but he did admit that, or allude to the fact that he doesn't know what the Cowboys want in blockers. And that is very disconcerting to hear from him, because basically what he's saying is, I don't get it.
Yep.
That's basically what he's saying is, I don't get it. I feel like I'm blocking well enough to at least be on the field more. But in that same breath, he's saying the Cowboys don't like how he's blocking. Now, whatever that means is whatever it means. But if we're talking about how he factors in as a potential impact player 2018, I think we should more so focus on if he's even a 53-man roster guy. And as it stands, I don't know that he is, because I don't know that the Cowboys are prepared to carry 4 tight ends on the active roster going forward. I think they're going to stash one on the practice squad, and I don't think Gathers is going to be willing to sign another practice squad contract.
Oh, no. He'll sign with another team.
Absolutely, and I think the Cowboys will be fine with that, because I think they're disappointed in the lack of return on investment that they've gotten from him over the course of the past first 2 seasons in the NFL. But all that being said, I mean, if you look at this tight end depth chart, who you feel okay that, you know, you got Swim coming in, but you're just not excited. Like, who are you excited about?
No, I don't even feel okay. It's not even about being excited. I don't even feel okay with this group.
I don't feel okay. I mean, I feel okay with Swain because I know that he can block. But I haven't seen Jarwin. You know, like the sample size, he was active for what, one game?
One game. No catches.
And then... So his sample size is far too small for me to know exactly what I'm dealing with on an NFL level. Schultz has no snaps, obviously, because he just got there. Wells has no snaps. He just got there. Rico Gathers, you know, he doesn't know what the Cowboys want from him as a blocker, so that doesn't sound good at all. So from the perspective of the starter, I feel okay with Swain. I feel good about the upside of Jarwin and Schultz. But if we're talking about – you know, having some reservations about defensive end as it relates to projection.
Yeah, it's all projection for this.
Man, it is literally 99.99% projection for the tight end position. And then you know that, again, I really do feel like they're only going to carry three at most. Stash one on the practice squad. But then if the three end up being Swain, Jarwin, and Schultz, you got a veteran behind the veteran. You got a second-year guy. You got a rookie. And this is your unit trying to replace a future first-ballot Hall of Famer? That's rough. So they got their work cut out.
I think if they stick with these four, only three of them are going to make the team, and then Wells is going to be the practice squad guy. I also think it's very possible that you see them make some end of training camp, end of the preseason moves to get a veteran guy in there. And if they do go out and get a veteran guy, I think they'll carry four. I think they'll. I don't think they're going to be willing to expose Schultz, the fourth round pick. I think that they protected Jarwin last year, so I know that they're not going to expose him again. Yep. And Swain is obviously the best of the bunch right now as far as experience. So I think if they go out and they get another guy, they're going to keep four on the roster, and they're going to have to go slim at another position. I'm okay with that. I think that de-emphasizing the tight end position, if you don't have a Hall of Famer in your group, I don't have a problem with them looking somewhere else. But we've seen other teams with mediocre to good tight ends really be able to exploit the seams. And from my perspective, it's just about not knowing what these guys have. We have no idea. One of these guys might be ready to bust out and be phenomenal, but we
don't know.
We don't know. We're only a week away from training camp, and it's time to be more responsible with projections than hopeful. When you're in May and early June, you can hope that everything's going to turn out. Yeah, all of these guys are going to play. Everybody's going to be healthy, and everybody's going to live up to the utmost of their capabilities. From rookies to 15-year veterans are all going to be at the top of their game when the regular season starts. It's not time for that anymore. It's time to be more realistic. And when you're trying to be realistic, you can only go off of what you know. And these are basically low pedigree guys that they have at the position that haven't proven anything on the professional football field. So there's reason for concern. That's all
right. And I agree. Like you said, I mean, any one of these guys can break out. I really like what Dalton Schultz brings to the table. Went back and looked at some of his film at Stanford. This is a guy that has I'm not going to compare. I'll say that. But let's say he's a raw Jason Witten. He has the same skill set that made Jason Witten attractive to the Cowboys for so long. And that's why they went and got Schultz. So he could break out. Jarwin could break out. Hell, Swim could break out now that he's going to see that increased snap count. But in the aspect of being responsible, the most that I could tell anyone, because I get a lot of questions, as you do, as far as, well, Pat, how's the depth chart going to shake out? Who's going to break out for the Cowboys at the tight end position? The answer is, I don't know who's going to break out, but I can tell you how the season's going to start. It's going to start with Swain at one. Jarwin and Schultz are going to kind of battle it out for two. I agree that they're going to stash one. That might be David Wells. I don't believe Rico Gathers makes the 53-man roster. He could prove me wrong, but the temperature right now before training camp, before he takes a snap in training camp, is he's not going to make this roster. He has to ball out, which includes his blocking has to be very provocative over the next 6 to 8 weeks for the Cowboys to trust that he deserves to be on the roster. But here's the question I have for you, since we're talking about the tight end position. You mentioned If they do bring in a veteran, they'll probably run heavy, i.e. they'll run with four guys on the active and then stash one on the 10-man practice squad. Would you be willing to do that if that meant you had to run light at the quarterback position, considering the talent or the potential, I should say, of someone like Mike White, although you know that they really love Cooper Rush as well?
See, I don't think that it has to be the quarterback position, and I'm going to get a little bit more into, as part of my answer to our third question, into projecting what the roster makeup is going to look like. I don't think that quarterback would be the position that they go light on. That's just my gut feeling.
What do you think they go light?
I think the going light would happen in the secondary, just simply because there's not that much talent there beyond the guys that you know are going to be in the rotation. I mean, you have your three safeties. Okay, so you put Cam Kelly as a fourth safety, and you know that Byron Jones can play safety if you have to play him there, and you can be okay with the rest of the depth at cornerback. So I could see them, if they go long at a position, going short at defensive back and maybe only taking eight defensive backs into the season. I can see them going short for the first month of the season while David Irvin is on suspension and not adding an extra body to take his place that they're going to end up cutting once he becomes active, and then seeing if they need to make a move at another position after they settled in once Irvin becomes active. I don't think you necessarily have to replace a guy that you're holding on to as a 53-man roster spot as a projection. I don't think you cut any of those guys. If it's a projection guy, you don't cut them. If they're a fringe player that's just there for depth, just to say that you have an extra body, those are the guys to me that you cut. And that would be a guy like Marquestron Huff, who I think would probably be the fifth safety, but he's a special teams guy. You could probably get by with somebody else doing that job. So I'm, you know, or Chris Covington slash one of these other backup linebackers. If one of those guys made it out of camp, they would probably be the guy that gets kicked off for David Irving once he becomes active. So those
like
are the people.
Pinkins.
Exactly. Those are the people that I'm choosing from. If I go long at a position that I'm not expecting to right now, those would be the guys that would get cut to make room for that. It wouldn't be a guy like Mike White or Cooper Rush that I have projections of that could bring. I mean, those guys, even if they don't ever play, could possibly bring you back value. So I don't think either one of those guys, you're carrying all three of the quarterbacks into the 53-man roster.
I agree with that. The only thing I would disagree with is I am completely uncomfortable with running light in the secondary because of not only the things I mentioned from the safety position, but we have an issue. And I say we, I mean the Cowboys, because I don't own anybody's team, unfortunately. the Cowboys have an issue with depth at the cornerback position. I mean, you're dropping Byron Jones down, which is absolutely fantastic. However, aside from you got Byron Jones, Anthony Brown is looking to have a bounce back year. You got Chidobe Awuzie, you got Jordan Lewis. So those are your four guys in the dime. But outside of that, you're still looking to see what Marquez White can do. Obviously, I'm one of the guys that have been beating the drum for Marquez White to get some snaps. I just want to see what he can do. I know what his skill set is. I think he has some talent there, but I don't know what he can do yet. You look at somebody like Duke Thomas. Okay,
yep.
So Duke Thomas has some potential there, but do you know what you're getting yet?
I think they love Duke Thomas. I heard that he was going to make the roster last year until the injury. So I think that they love that guy.
And not to say that they don't, but do you know? I mean, does KD Drummond know what he's getting from Duke Thomas in 2018?
No. I have no idea.
You don't. You don't know what you're getting from Donovan Alumba. You don't know what you're getting from Charvarius Ward. So these are kind of similar to the safety position. Behind the four guys that you're confident in, which would be Jones and Awuzie and Lewis and Brown, behind them, you got so many question marks. I don't know that I would run skinny there.
It depends on what your definition of running skinny is, because for me, it's those four guys that you just mentioned and then carry a fifth guy, whether that be White or Thomas, and then you carry a sixth guy on your 10-man practice squad. You may carry even a seventh guy. So you have four guys plus a fifth. Then you have four safeties in Woods, Frazier, and Heath, plus let's just say it's Cam Kelly. And then you put the other guy, whoever your fifth safety is, on the practice squad. These aren't guys that are going to be plucked by anybody else. So you can have flexibility. You can roll with only eight of those guys on your main squad and then have three of your 10 practice squads taken up by guys that aren't going to be on somebody else's roster. You can put Duke Thomas, Marquez White, Robinson at safety, and Chiaro at safety. You can put any of those guys on the practice squad, and they're still part of your team and able to be called up if injury happens. I'm not concerned about that to say that I have to keep those guys from getting poached by putting them on the 53-man roster. I think every year we get a little bit too sensitive, and I am 100% a card-carrying member of this group, but we get too sensitive about guys that we've fallen in love with and thinking that other teams are just going to swoop in and grab these guys. Lewis Neal last year was the main one. We loved what Lewis Neal did.
Yeah, that's your guy.
He put a lot of stuff on film, and that's nobody in the NFL cared. Nobody came for Lewis Neal last year. So I've come around to the point that some of these guys that you're concerned about, you can have them on the practice squad. And honestly, if Duke Thomas was on a practice squad and he was our fifth or sixth cornerback, if somebody snatched him up, are we crying? I'm not crying. You're like, oh, well, they took the guy.
You're not
move
crying,
on.
But you're not crying. But to that end, you're not exactly pleased because now, to your point, I don't know if because Cam Kelly is one of my sleepers, don't start. I don't know if because
well, he's one of mine too, so I ain't gonna mess with you on
that. Yeah, I think I'm not saying that there'll be people beating down the door to approach Cam Kelly with a deal if he was cut from the 90-man roster in the hopes of him landing on the 10-man practice squad. But I do believe he'll have some interest, and I do believe that the Cowboys could lose Cam Kelly if they hope that he is around to re-sign on the practice squad.
But they have options. They can do the same thing they did with Rico Gathers. They can pay him right under what the league minimum is to stay with them and say, hey, you're familiar with us. You know that you're in the plans for the future. Stick with us for a year. We'll pay you to, almost a full salary to be on the practice squad, and you're good. There's so many ways around losing a guy on the practice squad. I'm not nervous.
It's fair, but they might be once bitten, twice shy in that situation because of Rico Gathers. So, but I understand what you're saying. I mean, you definitely have a good point as far as the QB position. And I'm not suggesting that they run light. I personally would keep all three. I love what Mike White brings to the table as far as his arm strength and his ability to be accurate. I love what Cooper Rush, we saw what he did in the preseason. I think that he can be an animal if he was, forced into a starting role for whatever reason. And I like having those guys behind Dak Prescott in the event of injury in 2018 and unpopular opinion in the event that Dak turns out to not be that guy. I think he can be that guy, but in the aspect of talking all contingencies, it's not a bad thing to have a couple guys with good talent behind them that worst case scenario could step up and challenge for the position. That's always a good thing. Competition is the name of the game.
I completely agree with you. And I think that, not worst case scenario, but I truly believe that one of those guys can eventually net you at the worst a fourth round pick if they develop the way that I think they are. So just for
that
reason only.
That's New England Patriots blueprint. So I'm happy to see the Cowboys kind of adopting that because it might pay off for them. If Dak turns out to be the guy, then guess what? You got Rush and Mike behind him. And then, of course, now going into 2019, you're going to have run up against an issue with the coming expiration of Rush's contract. But now guess what you got? You got White. So you let Rush put just enough on film in the preseason. He already has some preseason film that looks fantastic from, prior to 2017. Let him do it again in 2018. And then he becomes the trade piece going into 2020. So we'll see how that goes. But I was just curious on how you would run that. I mean, I agree that you got a lot of logic there, and I agree that I would carry through quarterbacks as well. I don't know just yet. It was just a random question that popped in my head. I'd have to look at the roster where I would be willing to run light. I wouldn't be comfortable doing it in the secondary, but good points all around. So then the question becomes, we now know who the weakest unit for the team is.
We already did that.
I had another point that popped in my head before we moved on to the next question, but it came in.
But you're old now. Hey, you're old now.
Yeah, go on. More neurons burned. I don't know, man. Okay.
You're so old now. You've been drinking that high-quality beer, and it burns brain cells, brother.
Listen, sir, I will not stand or tolerate for any type of slander on beer. Let's just put that out right now. All right, so we got the last question. You want to shoot it?
Yeah, my man, Tony Clay, S. Tony Claiborne at SAClay187. And that's 187 on a under. And okay, sorry, I got into my Snoop real quick. He asked, he says,
just a throwback to you losing that hip hop comparison. But,
bro, you know I didn't lose. You know I didn't lose. I don't even know why you would try that. Mr. Claiborne asks, it's a certainty Hearns will be the X and Beasley will be the slot. Would they dare put Gallup in T-Will's spot with the ones to open up? Or is it Deontay Thompson's spot to lose? My man, Pat, I will give you first crack.
My personal lock for the X, if there was a lock for that role right now going into training camp, is Michael Gallup. Mm-hmm. It's the third round pick. It's the guy they had a second round grade on that just happened to still be available in the third round. It's the guy that new wide receivers coach Sanjay Law absolutely praised and said that he was the only player in this draft that from scouting to coaching had a unanimous and consensus agreement on that has the number one wide receiver talent. They are absolutely in love with Michael Gallup. And if you look at his skill set, how he plays violently, how he attacks the ball with his hands aggressively, he is what he has now what made Dez Bryant so attractive to the Cowboys back when they drafted Dez Bryant. I think that although Gallup is saying all the right things, shout out to his handler for prepping him on how to answer these questions. And he's saying all the right things, and his only goal is to make the 53-man roster. Way to go, young man. We thank you. We love your humility. Now let's
talk. But we don't believe you. You need more people.
We don't believe you. You need more people. Michael Gallup is the X, and that's for me, that's it. Now, that puts Hearns in the Z. So if we're talking about, you know, would the Cowboys put Gallup in T-Will's spot, like, would they dare to do that? What? What has T-Will done to prove to you that he's better than either Gallup or Hearns? Now, that's not to say Williams is not a good receiver, because I'm one who has routinely explained the value of Williams. He's one of the better blocking receivers on the Cowboys roster. That has a ton of value. They're a run first team, obviously. He's a good down the field blocker as well as at the line of scrimmage. And he's consistent and he's durable prior to this offseason where he broke his foot, which wasn't even a football related injury, but that's a story for another day as well. So my top three receivers, and I put a wide receiver depth chart. I'm just going to run down this real quick because this is going to answer. Hopefully this is going to answer the question for Mr. Claiborne from Parts Unknown. And give me Gallup as my number one wide receiver. And I believe he's going to be at a Pro Bowl level by the end of the season. Does that mean he'll make the Pro Bowl? No, that's not what I'm saying. I believe that he'll have that swagger by the end of the season. Hearns at the Z. I think Hearns is better than Williams. And then obviously lock Beasley into the Y. So yes, Beasley is absolutely a slot receiver. And I think they're going to get a little creative. You're going to see Beasley outside those hashes at least a handful of times in 2018, but that doesn't mean he's not the slot receiver. He's still the slot receiver. They're just mixing some things up. Give me Noah Brown as my wide receiver four. 6'2". So he has the height. He's physical. He's a good route runner. His stock kind of fell in the draft because he had that broken leg in 2015, forced him to miss the entire season. And then, of course, the Cowboys, they're looking at his upside. So that's definitely there, and he's looking great so far before training camp comes in. So let's put an asterisk there. But he's my number one. He's my number four wide receiver, Cedric Wilson. I am huge on Cedric Wilson. That is another one of my sleepers, Cedric Wilson. 6'3", so he's taller than Williams. And this is who I really believe Williams is up against. I don't believe Williams is up against Hearns. I think Hearns wins that battle. He's damn sure not up against Gallup. Get out of here, right? But if you look at someone like Cedric Wilson, he's 6'3". He's taller than Williams. He's taller than KD Cannon. He's taller than Deontay Thompson, okay? And he's a down-the-field threat. He has an above-average wingspan, above-average hand size, above-average vertical jump. He pulled in 2,640 receiving yards, 18 receiving touchdowns in only 26 games, dude. In only 26 games for Boise State, right? That's 100 yards per game. Every game. That's who Terrence Williams' nightmare should be. That's who that's his Freddy Krueger, right? That's when Terrence Williams falls asleep at night. That's who comes through the waterbed and tries to drag him down into hell. It's Cedric Wilson Jr., right? And then you look at somebody like Lance Lenoir. That's my wide receiver six. He gets the final wide receiver spot. I think the Cowboys carry six wideouts on the active 53-man roster. I think Lance gets the final nod. He's the best route runner there. Sanjay Law says he's been, quote-unquote, ultra-competitive. He's worked extremely hard in the weight room, done everything that's been asked. He's a detailed route runner. He studies, comes in extra shows on, it shows on the field. He makes plays, and he's one we're intrigued with, end quote. Spoke with Lance Lenoir at the National Fantasy Football Convention. He is laser focused on making this team, as if you didn't already know it by his conditioning videos he's been posting, right? So with that wide receiver depth chart laid out that way, I don't see where T. Will fits coming off of a broken foot that puts him behind the eight ball,
and,
number one.
And
there you go. You know I'm coming with it. And he still has a pending criminal investigation for public intoxication, which could lead to additional charges. And even if it does not lead to additional charges, and even if it's dismissed, which if you've seen the video, how do you dismiss that? But even if it is dismissed, if the NFL deems it necessary to apply even a one-game suspension, that immediately voids his guaranteed money, gives the Cowboys an exit, a fire escape type exit from a contract that otherwise has them handcuffed. And I think that they use that as an out to say, you know, they'll look at it at that point and say, okay, have we had any injuries in training camp or preseason? If the answer is no, and they feel like they can get any value for him in a trade, whether it be a late round conditional pick, whatever the case may be, they're going to try that angle first. And if that doesn't work, they're just going to cut him because you no longer have that guaranteed money hanging over your head. So you're not going to eat all that dead money and mess up your cap space at the moment. So I don't see how Williams makes the roster unless there is an injury from any of those six guys I just named. And for me, we know it's a lock that Hearns is the X. No, sir, we do not.
You know, I'm a really good dude. Because
I disagree.
No. I'm a really good dude because I absolutely knew that we were going to be lock and step on this answer, and I could have hoarded it and set this up so that I went first and had all of the great points to make about the wide receiver group. But because I'm such a good dude, I let you go first, and you absolutely nailed it. You nailed it. Excuse me.
With your taxes.
Yeah, something like that, because I do claim my kids. So
read it off. Really, what's happening here, ladies and gentlemen, is that he didn't have anything as good as what I laid out, so he's just trying to spin it to make. He's trying to spin it to jump onto my elite wagon of facts.
I will read you.
You walk past me and my cologne smells wonderful because it's expensive, and you're walking around with some Stetson on, and you're like,
you
"Hey man,
smell like cheap beer. What are you talking about?"
And you're like, "Hey man, hey Pat, where'd you get your cologne?" And you know,
from
I'm
a
like,
"Cheap beer store." Amazing. You got drunk and spilled beer on yourself. That's what you smell like. Come on, player. All right.
Bring up bullshit.
Here was what I was going to say. So I have a couple points in here that expand on what you were saying. First off, I don't think you can say with anything as a certainty with this group of wide receivers. And I think that's what the Cowboys are actually going for in the post-Dez Bryant era. Yes, Hearns does have the body type of Dez. He does have a lot of the characteristics. But his most productive season came as a Z receiver when Allen Robinson was the X in Jacksonville. Yes. That's when Hearns had 1,000 yards as a Z receiver. Yes. Now, we know that he can do all three positions, but I'm going to go ahead and say that his most productive spot is probably where the Cowboys want to see him moving forward. Now, in this past draft, the Cowboys drafted two players in Michael Gallup and Cedric Wilson who both primarily played the X receiver in college. Even though it seemed like Cedric Wilson was just kind of a deep threat, that was just kind of the nature of the offense that they ran at Boise State, but he lined up as the X receiver more often than not and was able to break free of the press coverage at the line of scrimmage. Now, in addition, you mentioned already that they practiced with Beasley on the outside many times in the OTA. So I think all of that just goes to tell you that I think they want diversity and versatility. And the entirety of training camp will be spent finding out which player runs the best routes out of each of the positions as they try to kind of revamp how the offense is, and knowing that the passing game got stale last season. So I think all of that is going to be in play when the Cowboys are going into training camp trying to decide the best combination of guys. Oh, Beasley runs the slant best from the outside, better than anybody else. Okay, on those plays, we'll run Beasley as the outside receiver and put Hearns in the slot. All of that versatility is going to come into play. Now, with all that said, there will be some players in certain positions more often than others. And for all of that, I agree with you. Michael Gallup is there going to be their core X guy. Hearns is going to be the core Z guy. And then for me, they're backed up on line two by Noah Brown at the X and Terrence Williams at the Z. And then on line three by Cedric Wilson at the X and Deontay Thompson on line three. Now, I agree with you. Remember, we had a podcast a couple weeks ago, and I said I completely forgot that Terrence Williams was even on the team because I've traded him 14. I traded him 1,400 times since he got arrested. I have no frame of reference for him still being on the team, but it's a possibility, and honestly, it's probably most likely that he ends up being on the team because of one point that you brought up. He is a outstanding run blocker. Outstanding. And knowing how much the Cowboys value that, if they don't see that same level of blocking from the other guys on the roster, I think that earns him a spot on the team. Now, he is also the guy that I think is most likely going to be the trade bait to go get them that tight end that I spoke about earlier. There's some guys in the defensive line. They're running deep there. If you look at everything, Charles Taffer could easily be a trade candidate. I think some of the other guys that are on the defensive line could also be guys that you can ship out and get something back for of value to try to shore up one of the other positions. But I just have a sneaky suspicion that Terrence Williams is the type of player that could bring them back a real contributor and not just a draft pick once you get to the point of the regular season, the final cut down, and teams making those moves to try to shore up their roster for the regular season. Now, the last thing I wanted to talk about with the wide receiver group was your guy Lance Lenoir, however you pronounce his
name. It's Lenoir. Okay. It's Lenoir.
Beautiful. Thank you. Because I always do enunciation spellings, and nine times out of ten, they're going to be wrong. So it's Lenoir if you spell it out, but Lenoir is what it is. So
right. I'm the same way. I thought it had that French twist
right,
to it.
Exactly. I thought he was from, the Big Bayou or something. So
Came straight from the horse's mouth, so it's Lenoir.
It is what it is. So Lance Lenoir, he's a practice squad guy to me. The Cowboys have no problem keeping a guy like that on the practice squad. And I know that a lot of fans get enthusiastic about these guys every year. We had Andy Jones. We got to the preseason. He couldn't catch a lick, even though he was catching everything in training camp and being phenomenal in practice. This kind of feels like the guy that even if he does show up and show out, they're not going to put him on the 53-man roster. They're going to stash him. He's going to play in the first two preseason games, and you're never going to hear from him again so they can sneak him on the practice squad. That's the type of player he is. And then if injuries happen, they can bring him on at the second half of the season, whatever the case may be, bringing him along slowly if some of the other guys aren't working. Heck, maybe they move on from Terrence Williams because for whatever reason, or maybe somebody else gets injured and they have to bring him on, whatever the case may be. I think he's a second half of the season type of guy as opposed to being a opening day 53-man roster guy. So are
you saying that you see the Cowboys carrying only five, or do you think that Deontay Thompson takes one of those spots?
No, Deontay Thompson is on my squad for two reasons. One, the guaranteed money that they gave him, and you all know I'm the salary cap.
Yeah, but
guru.
It's only it's only $1 million cap hit if they
right,
cut
right,
him.
Right. But it's not just that it's $1 million cap hit, it's that they signed a guy to a 1-year deal with a bigger signing bonus than actual salary. So what would be the point of cutting him for another guy that you can get ultimate savings from? So I know it sounds kind of convoluted, but for what Deontay Thompson, yeah, because I talk in multi-syllables and they confuse you. But for my money, what Deontay Thompson brings to the table, that deep threat, I can't really say that Cedric Wilson being a rookie can provide this team with the deep threat factor. And for my money, Dak Prescott is more accurate throwing deep than he is throwing short and middle length passes. So I would much rather have a guy that I know is a true deep threat, proven on the NFL level, somewhere on this roster, that when they need those plays, they can put him out there and say, you go deep, and the defense is going to have to be aware of that. I don't see that with anybody else on the roster right now, except for maybe Cedric Wilson. And again, sixth round pick, might not develop in time. He could be your guy, the deep threat for 2019 and beyond, but they signed Deontay Thompson for the specific reason of providing a deep threat for Dak Prescott, and nobody else that they've added since that point does that same role. So for me, that almost guarantees him, unless he's a bust in training camp, that almost guarantees him a spot on the roster, because the Cowboys desperately, without a number one receiver and doing this whole hodgepodge thing and, you know, by committee, they have to have the guy that has that deep threat element to his game, and the only guy I see that has that is Deontay Thompson, and that's not knowing what Lance Lenoir can do, but that's my guy. So I think Dallas takes six wide receivers. I already talked about three quarterbacks. Agreed. I think they have five running backs on the roster, if we're counting counting Tavon Austin as a running back, as a web back, whatever you want to call it. Three tight ends, eight offensive linemen, 25 guys on offense, three specialists, 25 guys on defense. That's where you come up with nine defensive linemen, seven linebackers, nine defensive backs. And then once you get Irving back, you kind of shuffle that around. If you get the fourth tight end, you lose one of those defensive backs. I think the Cowboys' numbers are pretty easy to come by this season as opposed to seasons in the past where the breakdown is. 25 on offense, 25 on defense. Let's go.
I could go with that projection. I could. I guess my main thing is you laid it out as Cedric Wilson versus Deontay Thompson, and it's logical because it's deep threat. It's projected deep threat versus proven deep threat. And then, you know, you look at the fact that Sanjay Lau, he's had some experience with Thompson. Mm-hmm. I believe up in Buffalo, if I'm not
mistaken. Yeah, they had some off-season work together. Yep.
So he's got a little bit of an edge there as far as familiarity. God, I hate that word because I'm too country to say it. As far as them knowing each other goes. I don't know. I just feel like there's also the edge when you talk about Lance Lenoir. He's already got a year in the system. He's paid his due, so to speak, on the team's practice squad. He's getting a lot of praise as well. He's getting a ton of praise from Sanjay Lau. So I guess at the bottom of that, it's fair to say it's more Wilson versus Lenoir versus Thompson, and then we'll see which two of those three land. But I do believe that if Thompson doesn't land, obviously, I think we can agree that he's not practice squad, right? He's going to look for jobs somewhere else.
No, he's way too old. Yeah, he's too old. He's not even eligible.
Yeah, he's going to look for somewhere else anyway. So, yeah, granted. And that might come into play as well, because if they feel like they can, you know, cut Lance Lenoir or Cedric Wilson and still keep them on the practice squad, then that would be, you know, just smart GM movement, or smart GM decision, I should say. So, I mean, we'll see. It'll be interesting. We do both agree that they'll carry six, and at the bottom of that, we'll see how it kind of shakes out. And we also agree that Terrence Williams doesn't have a place much longer on this roster.
Not on my team.
So hopefully that answers your question, Mr. Claiborne, from Parts Unknown. But yes, there is no certainty right now with this wide receiver group, but if we had to place our bets, the safest bet is that Gallup is your X, Hearns your Z, Beasley is your Y. And KD and I, we agree that there will be six wide receivers carried. We don't disagree on Noah Brown. We'll see how Wilson, Lenoir, and Deontay Thompson work out behind them.
Yep, there it is. And we are so thankful, because this was our first Q&A, and we had three – We had questions to choose from, but these three were great lead-ins to what training camp is going to be all about. And, of course, here on Catch This Fade, we will be with you every step of the way, not just on this podcast, but on our respective sites, Cowboys Wire for me, Dallas 24/7 Sports for Pat. And again, please give me the URL, because I cheat every time I just type DAL. All I do is I type DAL and everything else fills in. So, yeah, exactly. The cookie saved my life. So give the people the URL.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is 247sports.com/Dallas-Cowboys. But as always, this is a mobile world. More people are on the move than sitting at their desk like KD and I analyzing Cowboys stuff to give you guys the news and the projections. Download the CBS Sports app. Do it 5 minutes ago. That is the best way to keep up with all of my pieces regarding the Dallas Cowboys. Turn your notifications on. Turn your Twitter notifications on for both myself and KD, and you will never be behind the curve when it comes to keeping up on smart and accurate Cowboys information.
There you go. That's it for this week, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in to Catch This Fade podcast. I mean, that's it, Pat. We out of here, man. Say goodbye to the people.
Thanks, as always, for tuning in. Hopefully, you were able to get some of the great information that you needed from us going into training camp. We're in the drought right now, but it's almost over. July 25th, the Cowboys will fire up training camp in Oxnard, California. And for those of us who love football as much as Katie and I do, that's where the season really starts. You ready, Katie?
You know what it is, folks. Salute.
Out.